Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the My Fantasy Fix DFS Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we are rapidly approaching the end of the PGA Tour season. We are now in the playoffs. We take a move to Memphis, but before we do that and we get into the FedEx St. Jude Invitational, let's take a look back. It was an interesting week for Sedgefield and the Wyndham Championship. Skeeter, I did okay. I had three lineups, one cash pretty nicely as a 5 of 6, so I was barely profitable, but for a second week in a row, I'll take barely profitable after a nice week 3 weeks ago. So, Skeeter, I guess what are your thoughts from Wyndham? And I certainly have a few.
Well, it was not my favorite week. I had the only thing I was sweating on Sunday was an outright on Billy Horschel, and unfortunately he just did not have it yesterday. Couldn't really get anything going. Makes a birdie in 18. He at least got a pretty good attitude through it all, which I must say I'm always impressed with. But I found the drama interesting, especially with the 70, Adam Scott making what he shoot 62 or 63, give himself a chance, and then Justin Thomas, boy, that pitch on 18, what a shot. And that thing, for that just to come out was just, that's painful. But
the shot to get there was pretty wild, too. The hook out of the pine straw was, CBS did a good job of covering the bubble guys, I thought.
Well, I thought it was only JT they were really covering, I guess. So
at some Scotty point, got a little love, but you're probably right. Scotty didn't get a ton of love.
No, like. And of course, the theory was if this was Ches Reavie, would they have been showing it the same? I don't know.
I mean, it's JT. I get you. Yeah, I was not on Lucas Glover. I find it interesting that they were talking about he being in the Clemson Hall of Fame. I guess his grandpa played for the Steelers. It's like, oh my God, this guy who I hate having in my lineup, I get wrong all the time, but is yet a seemingly very likable guy who you'd like to cheer for. And now he's got some like long-term connection to the Steelers. I'm like, good Lord, what a reason to like cheer for and against this guy. And that was interesting. The spaceship putter that Adam Scott's been using. Well, apparently Benny Ahn and Lucas Glover are using the same putter. So that thing was all over TV this week. It's a little bit more spaceshipy with the blue paint that Adam Scott has than the other two. But I thought it was good TV. I'll be honest with you. I was happy. We'll record this on a Monday. I was happy to just sit back and watch golf all day Sunday. Even got back in after the rain delay. And I thought it was nice to be able to flip that on the Golf Channel. We were able to still watch it all. So I enjoyed the Wyndham, Skeeter, and I thought there was some good drama between Glover getting the win to get into the playoffs and everything else.
No, absolutely. And then Glover's kids' reactions, especially his daughter.
That was pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's just great. Like, and even his response is like, yeah, we really got to see them much trying to get here, so this is all for them. And now he kind of gets, he gets the fall off now. Like, he doesn't have to play the fall, and he's set for another 2 years, which I would assume at some point is going to maybe transition him to the Champions Tour, or at least get him pretty close to that regard. But the drama was there. I think it's always going to be there at Sedgefield. It was a good tournament. I just wish my things had done better. I had Glover, I had Henley, I had Horschel. I had two of the three in the same lineup, but just had nothing around it. I could have really used the cut to be -1. But that didn't happen, so it was not a good week for me.
I will take it and move on, and I'll just say my final take from Wyndham. Don't fade Webb Simpson. I don't care how well he's playing, how poor he's playing. Don't fade Webb Simpson at Wyndham.
Jeez, I know. I need the Bart Simpson on chalkboard. Do not fade Webb Simpson at Wyndham. Do not fade Webb Simpson at Wyndham.
I'll feed it to you next year. I used Webb last week, and I won't be using him this week, of course, but I will feed you that line next year. Skeeter, are we ready to move on to the FedEx St. Jude Invitational?
Before we move on, I think we'd be remiss to not mention anything about Bryson shooting 58 at Liv Greenbrier. Like, I'm not the biggest Liv fan in the world. I know you watch it a little bit, but to shoot 58 on any tour is pretty remarkable. To shoot a 58 with a bogey is even more remarkable. Like, what a round.
Great putt at the end to finish it too, right? Like, you're not lagging up there to get a 59. I mean, maybe in the end he would have taken the 59, but yeah, special round, no doubt. So kudos to Bryson. And we talked about why that wasn't on TV. I thought about after the fact, maybe they played ahead to get the round in before the rain came, and that's why it wasn't live on TV. Because my buddy happened to be at the live event, and he fired at me in our group chat about the 58, and I was like, oh, it's over? And I flipped on the TV, and it wasn't over, and I was like, what the heck's going on here? So the only thing I can guess is that they must have played early to get through the weather or something, which is something the PGA Tour does too. I have no idea, but I was like, oh, I would have probably watched some of that, although I don't know if I would have. David Faraday made some smart aleck comment about, you know, he'd rather be doing that than the Wyndham, and I'm like thinking, I don't know, the Wyndham was pretty good, man.
Or, yeah, I think you told me about the same buddy of comments that he made yesterday, and you're like, I won't say your response to it, but that was pretty good. Back to even in the, over the weekend, what we said, you know, who was it that said that Andy Dalton was close to the Hall of Fame? Like,
was Miles Sanders, his new teammate with the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, so if Lucas Glover's in the Clemson Hall of Fame, it means Andy Dalton's got to be in the TCU Hall of Fame, and I assume Tom Hoagie's on his way. I don't know how many TCU golfers have alum have won a PGA Tour event.
Probably so in the TCU Hall of Fame, yeah. And yeah, so I just heard them mention that, and then they said his grandpa was also in the Clemson Hall of Fame and played for the Steelers, and I was just like, why the Steelers? Why do we have to keep going back to this? Why does it always come back to them?
Can't escape them.
It's true. NFL season around the corner. Looking forward to it, Skeeter. But I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to these playoffs, and it starts at St. Jude. And so now it's going to be interesting, Skeeter, when we get to this tournament. I guess before we get in the field, we've seen people withdraw in the past who are automatically in the next week. As you set lineups this week, are you concerned about that at all? Or is that just something like, hey, make sure you check it on Wednesday night?
No, because I think that would have happened by now.
Okay, that's fair.
Usually most players who aren't going to play withdraw before going there. But I think what's interesting, I mean, it's the, you know, so basically it's all the top 70 in the FedEx Cup playoffs are playing this week. It is a no-cut event. We've had to confirm that there were some things out there that might have said it was not going to be, that there was going to be a cut. It is a no-cut. After this week, top 50 will move on to Olympia Fields, and top 50 is a big milestone because top 50 gets you into all the signature events, I believe is what they're calling it now for next year.
Yep.
So that includes, you know, the Players now all of a sudden, which is bogus in my opinion. Memorial, Genesis at Riviera, some of those other events. So, I mean, that's a big deal. Then top 30 get all the majors as well and make it the East Lake. So that helps. Also, I think the fact that Scheffler and Rahm are so close together at the top of the standings probably keeps them both playing. I guess the slight concern would be, because I think Rahm's still leading because of the four wins. I guess the slight concern is if Rahm wins this week, does he, you know, and he's got the one seed locked up for East Lake, does he even show up next week at Olympia Fields? That would be a disaster for me because I'm saving Rahm next week for one and done. But I don't know if Rahm would do that. I don't know if he's the personality type to do it. He might. I don't know.
Like, he didn't do it in Mexico after the Masters, right?
Right. Or no, it was Heritage.
Was it Heritage? My bad. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. It was Heritage.
But he went back to Mexico where he'd won. So, but yeah. So I mean, now Rory, on the other hand, if he was in the position, I could see him doing it. And again, I'm not faulting anybody for doing it. But
sure. In the end, you're just trying to put yourself in the best position to win this thing.
Right.
Well, Skeeter, are we ready to dig into the course and a place that has kind of seen a few different styles of play, but has been around?
Yeah, so this is TPC Southwind, just outside of Memphis, Germantown, Tennessee. Par 70, lots of par 4s falling at 450 to 500 range, so that's where I'll be looking at along with the par 4s. Proximity, most of it from 150 to 175. Decent amount from 125 to 150, 175 to 200. Rough usually is not that penal here, so it's about average rough. Greens typically run fast. No cut event, so unless somebody withdraws or gets hurt, you're going to get four rounds out of everybody. So I think this kind of does perk up a little bit. The birdies are better, that you will want to do that. Position points, not as impactful, but obviously I think the winning line is going to have the winner. Probably four others in the top 15-ish, and maybe a value play in the top 25. Potentially all six of them are going to have to be in the top 15. Just kind of depends on how everything plays out. Really nothing much else to say here. Again, no cuts. I don't even know if they're going to go off split tees. I would assume they're just probably going to tee off on one starting Thursday, Friday, and I would imagine there's nobody off of 10, but...
I don't think they do split tees once they get to this number of players, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Pretty iconic course. There's been some moments throughout the years here. I saw Dustin Johnson holing out from the fairway on 18. He was up like 6, and he eagles out to win. Like, what a dominant win. As I mentioned to you before we got started, it's weird when you look at the tournament history. Some of the past winners, some of the people with the most success, are not here for one of three reasons. Number one, they're on live, DJ and Brooks. Number two, they're injured, Zalatoris and Berger. Or number three, they didn't qualify. Horschel, Thomas, I think even Webb's had a decent success rate here. Louis Live had an okay history here in his few appearances. So Phil obviously played really well here. Number one here, surprisingly. But so it's just weird that, you know, all the course horses are not here for a variety of reasons.
That should make it interesting for setting some lineups. Maybe keep us from having some crazy ownership levels, because I know last week there were certainly some crazy ownership levels.
Yeah, and the pricing, I must say, DraftKings, I thought, did a fairly decent job at pricing. Like, but it's also weird to see some of these guys in the sixes. Like, just, you're not used to seeing them at, like, say, 6K, or Chris Kirk at, like, 6,800, for example. Eric Cole, 69. We just haven't seen that recently.
Hey, it's the top 70 in the FedEx Cup points, so all these players did something to qualify, right? Justin Thomas didn't make it, so you are certainly going to see some odd numbers next to some names, because they didn't get here by playing to that number.
No, or you're gonna be like, how in the world did this guy get in? And you're like, oh, you go back and look at the fall swing. Oh, they had a really good fall. That's how they got here. So, yeah, just kind of intriguing setup. Again, this is probably the last of the, and this might not even qualify as the full DFS experience, because once we get to next week with 50 and 30, then your lineup combinations start to dwindle a little bit. You know, this will probably be the last week I'm probably venturing into 20 entry, 150 entry. After that, probably we'll focus more single entry, 3 entry, 5 entry max, just because starting next week, I mean, even this week a little bit, but not as bad. There's only certain number of combinations that are available.
Sure. I mean, if you think about it, in 2 weeks when we get down to top 30, you play a lineup with 6 guys, that's 1/5 of the field.
Right.
So we're getting into that territory now.
Right. And of course, there's combinations that will never occur to you because it can't, or you're not going to sit there and play all 6 players at 6, mm-hmm. you know, the 6 cheapest golfers. So there's combinations that are immediately thrown out. So it just makes it even that much more narrow.
Skeeter, we ready to get into the players?
Yep.
Let's do it. It's 10K plus. It starts at the top. Scottie Scheffler, 12-1. Rory McIlroy, 11-5. John Rahm, 11-1. Victor Hovland's 10-2. Xander Schauffele's 10-even. Skeeter, where are you going up here? Are you going up here?
The only one I'm thinking about is Rahm, just because he kind of started showing some life recently, especially at the Open with a T2. I mean, Scheffler's probably the obvious play here. I mean, he still ranks out number one, of course, everything over past 24 rounds. Does kind of dwindle down a little bit once you start getting to, like, 4 or 8 rounds. But, you know, that was overseas. Maybe he's just not accustomed to link-style golf yet, or European golf. But for me, it's Rahm. I just think the form is there. He is not one here, but I feel like he contended 1 year here recently.
He has, where are we at? I'm taking.
Oh, he was fifth last year, 7th in 2019. So a couple top 10 finishes. But I don't know if I end up here, to be perfectly honest. There's a lot of value I like in the 9s and the 8s. And while sure. while I do have a 6K golfer, I don't mind. So I could play Scheffler. I could play Rahm. I don't know if I could play both of them. I don't know if this is an area I end up in.
So I'm kind of with you there. I mean, I'm just going stock answer from the last 2-3 months is Scottie Scheffler. If he's in the tournament, he's just having a better season than anyone else. And I understand that might not be necessarily the case with the points versus Rahm. But to me, if I'm going to get up here and I've got the money to spend, it's Scheffler as my number one. If I had a number two, it's Rahm as well. And I'm also with you. So I'll play three lineups. And the three entry max $8, and two of them will not go up here for sure.
Yeah, and even looking at the ownership here on Monday night, the top three, Scheffler, Rory, and Rahm, there's a little bit of a gap between them and Hovland and Shoffley. So Shoffley's surprising coming in the lowest projected own because he rates out pretty well as well.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people are like me where 2 months ago it was like, oh, this is coming. You know, he's obviously incredibly popular at the U.S. Open where it looked good and then it didn't. So I'm not stunned. Probably people are fatigued using Xander and his course history is mediocre at best, frankly.
Yeah, and by the way, just looking at last year, Scheffler missed a cut, Rory missed a cut here, Spieth. There were some big names who... when there was a cut last year, missed a cut here. I'd have to go back to see what 6-6 was, because that was had been a rarity.
Skeeter, is there a particular name of the rest that you're fading? Does it matter?
No, I mean, there's a case for all of them, but if I'm going up here, I'm probably going to Scheffler or Rahm. So Rory, you know, history is okay here, but you know, I'm not ready to go there yet.
I mean, if I'm fading anybody, it is Xander, because he's only had one top 10 here, and it seems like he's – the mojo's kind of sliding, quite frankly.
Yeah. Again, it's hard to play him at 10 right now.
Yeah, I would agree. Skeeter, let's look at the 9Ks then if we're ready to move along. And it's Patrick Cantlay at 98, Tyrrell Hatton's 97, Ricky Fowler 95, Jordan Spieth 93, Tommy Fleetwood 91, Morikawa 9K even. Skeeter? Where are you going here?
The answer is I don't know.
Okay.
Because I'm looking and want to take a guess who the two most popular plays are and probably two of the five most popular this week so far.
Ricky and Tommy?
Ricky and Morikawa.
Ooh.
Morikawa ball striking just rates out well. Ricky, he's just had a phenomenal year. So, and I think he's had some success here, if I remember right. I mean, Ricky, he's got a 15th and a 13th, so he's been okay, but nothing spectacular. But I think people just love playing Ricky, and he's in form. Like, even after the win, he really hasn't slowed down much. Rates out well in every single category I'm looking at. So, I don't know what to do with them. I will, of course, go to two of my faves here. You know, it's not Ryder Cup season yet, so I still can root for Hatton and Tommy.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you right there.
I mean, in a year where we've had so many people who have finally gotten that win. I mean, we've been saying this for years for Tommy, so I don't know if that's going to happen. But Hatton feels due, right? He's had such a good year, a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds, a lot of top fives. Like, it would feel like he's kind of due, and he rates out so well in those par fours. Altogether, especially the par fours from 400, 450 to 500, makes a lot of birdies, good bogey avoidance. Like, he just rates out really well. 9,700 does feel a little high on him, but maybe that's time to play the contrarian move.
I mean, you're not going to get me to argue against either one of those guys. And if you're going to tell me that the ownership level is going to be lower while the price is going to be lower, then I'll go with Tommy Fleetwood as the actual favorite for me here. Course history is okay, I guess. He did have a top five here, finished fourth in 2019. Tommy Fleetwood is a great ball striker and most assuredly has been playing really well. So give me Tommy Fleetwood if he's going to be looked at a little less than some of the others.
I mean, okay, when I say this, I guess I need to recalculate here. Everybody, so basically in the 9,000 above, the ones who are going to draw the most attention, Scheffler, Rory, Rahm, Ricky, and Morikawa. Then it's basically everybody else kind of in that second tier, with the exception of one person. Would you actually guess the person who is right now sub 10%?
Cantlay?
No?
Shoot.
It's probably our fave, Spieth.
Which is interesting because he probably is my fade. But he's had two top 12s here in the last 4 years.
He has. But, I mean, 23rd of the Open, but prior to that, missed at Scotland, missed the U.S. Open, 5th at Memorial. Like, he's just kind of been all over the place. You know, he can be really good or he can be really bad. So maybe he's the risk. If you want to tolerate some risk, I mean, finding somebody that's going to be a significant ownership discount here might not be the worst play in the world. He is good. He's top 20 in all those proximity ranges from 125 to 200 that I'm looking at. So that could be an argument for him.
I don't see myself going there. I think he is my fade. Honestly, though, I will recant that. My fade will probably be Morikawa because while I do appreciate his ball striking is good and he's played decent here, he's been terrible. And look, I did use him at the Open, and I think maybe it's time to just say, hey, his win might be a fluke and he's not really an Open Championship player. Like, it's hard to say that he's got a win there as a young kid already, but I don't know. Maybe I'm snake bit with Morikawa, but he'll actually be my fade given high ownership.
So, in his defense, it looks like at the Open, he missed it on a number. When he missed at Travelers, looks like it was on a number. His off the tee has been great. His approach has been good. Really, even the putter has kind of been behaving a little bit more recently. So, I get why he's there, but and I had him start, but if he's going to be this popular, I mean, if you're looking for the negative against him, he is 61st over the past 24 rounds in that key par 4 distance from 450 to 500. So maybe that's your argument against him. But, I mean, top 10 in approach and 5th in opportunities gained, he'll give himself some chances.
Are we ready to take it to the 8Ks?
Yep.
Jason Day at 89, Max Homa 88, Tony Finau 87. Fitzpatrick's 86, Wyndham Clark 85, Hideki 84, Brian Harman 83, Cam Young 82, Sam Burns 81, Sung Jae Im 8K even. Skeeter, where are we going here?
I'm only on one person right now. Well, okay, I'm on one person for DraftKings purposes. I might be on somebody else here for one and done, but there's nobody really jumping out at me in this 8K range. Like, and maybe this is why, and apparently nobody else is really thrilled with this either. There's like two names and then some others. But there's some single digit here, and I'll take one of the single digits even if it's just slightly, and I'm just going to play course history, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Like I mentioned how it was funny the course history for was all the live guys, all the injured players, the ones who didn't make the playoffs. In my just kind of looking over things real quickly, the only one who kind of is here is Matthew Fitzpatrick, who past 4 years has three top six finishes and a 57th. He was fifth here a year ago. I don't remember his current form. I'm going to try to pull this up here real quick to see what he's been doing.
Fitzy was 41st at the Open, missed the cut at the Scottish, 49th at the Travelers, was good before then.
Right. But apparently there's something about this course that he really likes. You know, maybe it's the I don't really know. I'm trying to think what it would be because you don't have to be the most accurate hitter in the world. So, but you don't have to be long either. There's been some shorter hitters who've won here. So, I don't know what it is, but when I see that in a range that just doesn't really appeal to me, really good in a par 4 from 450 to 500, really good par 4 player all around, good at proximity from 175 to 200, good at bogey avoidance, decent at birdies or better. You know what? Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong player. Maybe I would start another player, but yeah, good bogey avoidance, good par 4 player. I don't know. I'm just going to take a chance here that the course history kind of pops up again.
I think there's three guys at least in this range that I'm interested in.
On somebody because I need it.
Brian Harman, 8,300. I know he's just coming off the Open Championship win, but he'd been playing electric golf before then. There was a reason we liked him. Doesn't Brian Harman do okay at TPC places? Brian Harman plays decent here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's more of a die specialist, but
okay, that's why we liked him at the Open, was the die comp. Okay.
No, not the Open. I don't think that was a...
Wasn't the Open comp as a Pete Dye, like, kind of like place? Isn't that why we liked him there?
There was a players comp. I don't remember now. I'm lucky.
Either way, Brian Harman, two top tens at this place. Give me Brian Harman as a guy at 8,300 that if he's not going to be popular, he's certainly striking the ball fantastically, or at least he was.
He's in that middle tier of ownership, probably a slight middle low, like probably a 10 to 12. But in this field, I mean, and I guess we do have to adjust our ownership percentage and tolerance here a little bit because there's only 70 players and only so many ways you can go. But no, his recent form is there. I just, you know, I'm always concerned about the player first time out of a major. How does he play? Which leads me to Wyndham Clark, the other first time major winner who has played okay since the 29th at Travelers, 25th at Genesis, 33rd at the Open. I mean, the Travelers the week after was probably tough. Took some weeks off in the Open,
showing up as a major champion for the first time at one of those events. It's a different feel.
Right. When I was mentioning the stats I thought for Fitzpatrick, it was actually Wyndham Clark, who's really good at par four, is really good at that proximity, good birdie or better, good bogey avoidance. So 8,500, I think that's probably my second one I'm interested in. It's not that I'm not interested in anybody else here, but like Hideki, I still need to see a top finish from. Homa and Finau, where have they been? I know Day made a run at the Open, but there's just not a ton I like down here. Maybe I could be talked into one other if you have somebody else.
Sung JM?
That's not the one I was thinking of.
I mean, didn't make the cut at 3M, but was 20th at the Open, was 14th at Wyndham, so two pretty promising finishes in his last three. Sung JM, good ball striker when he plays well. And then where's that course history? He was 12th here a year ago, so I'll go to Sung JM here.
That's funny. 14th? I thought he missed a cut. I didn't see a thing on him over the weekend.
He was completely irrelevant in terms of the tournament. He never did anything special. It was 69, 66, 67, 68. And I think that it's how the Wyndham plays out, right? Like, at least it seemingly has been the last couple of years where you're either in a group of a couple guys that's near 20, but like 10th place can be 10 under. So he was just in that group where he was never in contention.
Yeah. The only other one I might go to would be Sam Burns, but he's picking up a lot of steam. He was my one done last week. He made the cut on a number and actually played pretty well the weekend. He would have been better if he didn't have to play the first hole because he bogeyed it both days. But he ended up like T12. And he's played here twice, second and 20th. So decent little run here. He does prefer Bermuda. So 8,100, not bad. But again, I just worry that he's already picking up a lot of steam.
Skeeter, I might use Max Homa, who's been finding his way back into some contention lately, but I don't know if I would say that he's a player I'm excited to use here. I think that's about all I've got in the positive for the 8Ks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite range I've ever seen.
I'm fading Jason Day up top because I would I would just find a few bucks extra for Tommy Fleetwood, frankly.
Yep. Or I'll pay down for Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, or go down. Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, Skeeter, the 7Ks, not as full as they have been because, well, there's only 70 players in the field. You've got your names to pick from. The pricing gets interesting as we get down here. Where are you looking here?
It's a good question. Like, I have a few guys start. I'm trying to figure out which one do I want to mention here.
Keegan Bradley as a ball striker would intrigue me here at 7,700. Hasn't been great lately, but I'll probably have a Keegan lineup.
Yeah, I don't think he's had a ton of success here, has he?
I don't believe he's been phenomenal here, but Keegan has certainly not had... He's been hot and cold for a while. Yeah, nothing crazy. He missed the cut here last year, too.
Let's see. There's one guy... there's nobody I love here. Like, I have Russell Henley mentioned.
Yeah.
He's weird. He's played here four times, three missed cuts in the top 10. And, you know, I thought he handled everything, and I think you agree. He handled everything so well yesterday. Like, just some horrible breaks. The one on 16, that's just not fair. Like, come on, somebody replace that divot or fix that. But, you know, 17, he got a bad break, but both times he just kind of looked, didn't complain, asked a question. You know, he didn't get the ruling he wanted on 17, just said, okay, and just kind of went about his business. But
surely didn't.
But the problem with him last week at Wyndham, he gained 9.5 strokes putting. Like, it's not a Russell Henley type of thing. So we'll see there. Maybe Tom Kim. Good birdies, good approach. I think he was okay here in his first appearance a year ago.
He was.
Good in those proximity ranges, so maybe he's one I'll take a look at. There's just not a ton of the love here. I have guys I like, but nobody I'm just like dying to play.
McCarthy was decent here a year ago, but boy, he's kind of fallen off. I would have expected him to play well at Wyndham, and he did not. So I might get to him. I don't know. But Benny Ahn, I mean, he plays, he's striking the ball really well right now. Okay. And he's got a decent course history when he has made it here. Well, I say a decent course history. That's unfair to say. He missed the cut once. He was 12th once. So he's had a decent showing here is probably a more fair way to put it. Seb Straka was second here last year. Those are the names that I could get into at the top of the 7Ks.
Benny Ahn, okay, I'm putting a star by so many players. I got a really deep dive into this one. Seb Straka was one that kind of intrigued me a little bit, but doesn't feel like we may have had his run, and it's just kind of...
It's over. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, what a run. And by the way, he's still trying to fight for a Ryder Cup spot, so mm-hmm. There might be some motivation there, but not sure I can get to that one. Corey Connors is another one that kind of rates out statistically pretty well across all things. Maybe doesn't make as many birdies, but everything else he kind of seems to be top half the field at. And 7,600 does not feel like a horrible number on him. What do we do with Lucas Glover? Because, you know, you mentioned Brian Harman coming off a win. Lucas Glover's been playing, I mean, obviously without the major, has been playing very well, almost as well as Brian Harman in the past.
I'll play him. I mean, striking the ball amazingly right now.
Mm-hmm. I'll play him. May not have a ton of time to think about the win because he's just got to go, you know, he's got to go play the playoffs. Or is he just at the point where he puts so much energy to, in a stretch, to get in the playoffs, to kind of do everything that he got, what he, and now there's just that natural letdown?
I always fade the winner coming off of a tournament, but I could see myself getting to Glover. Then you make the case for why you shouldn't. And if I play Glover, you can bet he is going to be in the 60s.
If I told you
he's... Not his score, his right. place.
If I told you he's going to be one of the three most popular plays so far, would that
It makes it easy for me to get off of him and play Benny Ahn or play Steven Yeager or play JT Poston, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm looking at Yeager. He jumped off to that first round lead at the Wyndham or played really well in round one and just didn't do a ton since then. But keeps getting on approach. Off the tee's good. Putter's been fairly consistent with the exception of 3M. JT Poston keeps playing really well.
Heck yeah, two top 20s and a 30th his last three times he made it here.
All right, dare I ask? I know he's missed three cuts in a row. Well, at least on the PGA Tour. I think he was top 10 at a year DP World Tour event.
He missed the cut here last year, was 54th the year before. I know he was 11th in 2019. You must be talking about the Vampire.
Of course.
Nah, probably not, man.
Okay.
So, I mean, look what he's done to me. Look what he did to me lately. I had a Wyndham Clark lineup, a Wyndham Clark Ricky Fowler lineup in the U.S. Open that cashed for 100 in the Millie Maker because of Justin Rose. Oh man, Justin Rose, Lucas Glover. Go ahead and pick one. Watch me play Rose with 200 left over and Glover's good, or play Glover and I could have saved 200. Just watch.
Here's your solution. Play one lineup with both of them in it.
And then, you know what? I was going to say it'd be a 4 of 6, but this is a no cut. It will be a symbolic 4 of 6.
All right. Well, then I would assume you prefer a different Englishman here at 7K. Aaron Rye just continues to rate out well. He, of course, could be all over the place. Missed at Wyndham on a number. 20th at 3, I missed it. Scottish, 9th at Rocket Mortgage, 24th at Travelers, 3rd at RBC Canada. So, again, I mean, he's either boom or bust, but guess what? There's no cut here, so... And he's not afraid to shoot a low number, so I think Aaron Wright at 7K intrigues me a little bit.
I like Grillo at 71, but I could get to Wright at 7K.
Yeah.
That's probably where my positives for the 7Ks go. That's a lot of options given the limited number of options we're given by the player field.
I would agree.
Do you have a fade in 7K?
Oh, I'm sure I can find somebody here.
DraftKings faded 7,900. We don't have a golfer there.
Oh, we don't. Oh, wow. Look, I love the guy. Again, I need him to win here soon because I'm holding on to some decent golf cards of him, but I can't play Thigala right now.
Yeah, I wasn't playing him either, quite frankly. I mean, I'll fade Justin Rose, but Thigala's not a bad fade here as well. Skeeter, let's get into them 6Ks. Everybody in the 6Ks made the playoffs in the FedEx Cup playoffs, was a top 70 player in the FedEx Cup points. I know that's redundant, but it bears repeating. All these players that offer value have been playing pretty good.
Yeah.
Or have played good at some point this year. To say that they're playing pretty good right now maybe is not fair.
Well, I'll give you one guy who's been playing pretty well, Thomas Dietrich.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he was hanging around at the Open. Was he one of those was he one of those 5K guys or low sixes? I think I considered
him. I don't know if he was a 5K. He might have been a low six. He had been playing pretty good before that because he was already on my radar from like his June, I think. Although then he did miss some cuts, so maybe he was.
Oh, but he was 21st last week. Now, granted, it was all putting, but we're going to start getting down here in a range where he's got to find, they're down here for a reason, but, I mean, he's above field average. Birdies are better, good in that wedge range, 125 to 150, so, and that's over 24 rounds. His number's probably much better over shorter terms. I'll give him a look. One of my killers last week, Alex Smalley. He's game with the irons. He was bad around the green, bad putting. That's what cost him. But
he missed on the number.
Yeah, in a no cut event, I'll go back to him. Like, he's number one proximity from 150 to 175. He's above average in every category except bogey avoidance, which not great. But hey, 6,800. If he wants to make a bunch of birdies, throw some bogeys in there, and even if he finishes 32nd, but ends up 18th in DraftKings scoring at 6,800, I'm not going to complain.
What about Brendan Todd, 6,800? He seems like he's definitely my favorite of this group. And I used him last week. So his good ball striking certainly paid dividends for me last week. I'll go right back to it with Brendan Todd at 6,800. Not exactly a great course history, but he did have a 15th here a few years ago.
So we don't have stats for the Open, but John Deere, he gained 7 strokes putting. The Wyndham, 6.5. Like, that just scares me.
That is scary.
His irons have been okay. His off the tee is not great. I'm assuming that's distance related. So, potentially, I'll consider him.
Who else you like? Is there another player you like?
I'm going to get rid of one guy head start. I think it's more long-term form. Maybe he's starting to show some signs of life. And, of course, he did win back in the fall swing. Adam Svensson, 6,700. Been getting on approach, been getting off the tee. Putter's been fairly solid. Last week at Wyndham, it was 5.5 strokes, good, to where he finished 7th. But I think he won RSM, so we're kind of in the right geographic area, question mark? I mean, Georgia and Tennessee are kind of together, but not really. So, year of Canada, maybe I'll take Svensson.
Andrew Putnam,
yes, thank
is the
you.
Other 6K him. That I'm going to get to. Fifth here a year ago, his previous two times, now granted this is 2019 and 2018, 24th and a second. So let me repeat that. His last three times playing here, fifth, 24th, second. He's 6,400. He was 27th at the Wyndham. He was 55th at the Open Championship, 42nd at Scottish, 54th at Travelers, 43rd at the U.S. Open. I mean, the dude hasn't missed a cut since the PGA Championship. And, oh, by the way, this is a no-cut event. Andrew Putnam at 6,400. I mean, if I get to the sports book, God, I can't wait till it's legal here in Kentucky and I don't have to make drives to go make my bets. If I get to the sports book, I promise you he's one of my long shots.
Yeah, he's not doing much, but yes, I did think of him too. Good course history. I think he was the poor soul who finished second year. DJ just ran away with the field. Yeah, that was one name I thought of. I don't know if I'll get there because that's a pure course history play, but whatever.
He's playing okay right now, but that's as deep as I'm going in the 6Ks. I do believe if I get to anyone else, I'm not there just yet.
Okay, I have a guy at 6K. I mean, the guy who has commercials at this point, Sam Ryder, who's had a pretty good year.
Wait a minute. Would he have that commercial if he didn't have that name?
Well, let's not talk about it.
I mean, isn't that the whole gist of the stupid commercial?
Well, yeah, because he asked that question. I think the guy said, let's not talk about it.
Yeah, he does say that.
But, I mean, past three tournaments, or two tournaments, 7th at 3M, 38th at the Wyndham. He's gaining over 5 strokes on approach. Putter is hit or miss, and unfortunately probably more of it missed than whatever. But I don't know. I'll take a chance. 51st here a year ago, so not great, but at least he made a cut. Missed an 18 here. But, you know, just at 6K, like...
Opens a lot of things up for you.
It does, and with at least a recent top 10, and he's hitting his irons well. Bermuda's his best putting surface. Granted, it's not by much, but... It's there. I don't have a problem taking a flyer on him at 6K.
Interesting. I'll put him on my list. I don't know if I get there. If I have to, play Scheffler and Rahm for some reason, then maybe I do. Anything else in the 6Ks?
No, and let's be honest. If you're playing somebody at 6K, it's your guy Mackenzie Hughes.
If I were to, yeah, probably would be. I looked at him first when you said 6K. I said, well, where's Mac at? And he said, the guy's got a commercial. And I go, well, you know, I don't have a TSN, so I'm not sure if he has a commercial that I've seen.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody in particular that you have to throw the fade on here?
Oh, yeah, it's probably Taylor Montgomery because I don't think he's done anything since the fall. No. He's missed 4 cuts in a row. His best finish in this calendar year is 5th of the American Express. Ever since then, won top 25. He's basically off it. Oh, he didn't even win in the fall. He just went on fire. 3rd at Fortinet, 9th at Sanderson, 5th at 15th at Shriners, 13th CJ, 10th at Worldwide Technology, where the heck that is. So, yeah, it's just kind of been one of those. He got here because of a fall. So, not playing him in his current form.
I'm going to fade Adam Hadwin, who, since the T2 at Rocket Mortgage, has missed 3 consecutive cuts. And there's guys I like cheaper and just above him. So I'll say my guy Adam Hadwin, whose best finish here in his 2 tries is a 69th.
So you're saying bet him top Canadian?
Ooh, no. top Canadian as far as the highest number next to is, like the worst Canadian, maybe.
See, that should be a bet. Worst nationality.
So, totally aside, but one bet that I'm like, I haven't dug into yet, but I'm interested in every year is last team to win in the NFL as we're getting to that point of the season. I had a really fun time a few years ago with that bet. Last year, I think I had 2 teams and they both won in week 2. It was the Seahawks and the Jets. Yeah, the Seahawks. I was nowhere close. But a couple of years prior, I had the... I think it was the Jaguars at a really nice number. So it's not just picking the worst team, but you know, like I won't pick the Cardinals this year because the number won't be good. I'm going to find somebody else. But so trust me, Skeeter, if they had that worst Canadian bet, I'd probably make it because I'm just weird like that.
Texans, Panthers, or Buccaneers?
I'm going to have to see who has an ugly early schedule that's like a sneaky, you know, 15-1 or 20-1 on that list instead of like the 3s and 5s and 6s to 1s. But I haven't actually even looked at it. The odds are out there, I'm sure, but I have yet to handicap that. Haven't gotten into my NFL stuff as much as I'd like to at this point, but still got about a month to go.
I'd say Raiders, potentially?
Maybe. They certainly play in a division where they could go 0-6, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna
Jimmy G finds a way to get it done now and then. He finds a way to miss time too.
I'm still concerned about that one.
Oh, I'm sure so are the Raiders fans. Skeeter, let's take a look at the one and done situation. I almost reverse jinxed you by playing Russell Henley last week and trying to put the hex on somebody. Usually it's counterproductive. I almost did it to you with my Russ Henley pick. The good news is I moved up to 17th place. 27-17. Okay. Big time action here, bro.
I think I moved a total of zero spots. I think I started 167. I ended 167. Would have dropped a few spots had Henley won because he was so popular, but avoided that one. So I'm right where I'm at, and two left. So I need to I need to hit something this week.
Well, pick your win, make it hit. I will tell you that the best player I have available via the odds is one Richard Fowler, who I may or may not use. I may use one Matt Fitzpatrick. It doesn't really matter who I use. I don't have anything else until like JT Poston, which it doesn't matter who I use. I just went the rock on myself there.
Yeah.
Who are you going to pick? It doesn't matter who you're going to pick.
Well, it matters for me, but yeah, I get
it. It does for you. Yes, it does.
So I've kind of gone under the theory this year of, all right, I have to use somebody who can try to match or beat a previous total that they've won. Like, you know, for example, I used Max Homa at Riviera, number one, his great course history there, but he had just won Farmers, and I was like, okay, if I'm going to use him, I have to use someone that can potentially beat that. And I think he might have got more for the second elevated event than he did winning the Farmers. Now, I'm also at the point where I'm just, you know, there's 2 weeks left, I got to use my best player. I'm saving Rom for next week just because I have a feeling that could pay a little bit more than a normal elevated event because there's only 50 players, not 65. I'm assuming they're dispersing a little bit more money up top. I don't know. So basically my decisions between Russell Henley, which I don't think I'm going to go there, or Wyndham Clark. And I think I'm just going to go Wyndham Clark. He did win an elevated event, try to match that somehow. Brian Harman, I could use. That'd be an interesting play. I'm not as big of a Keegan person as you are, so I mean that would be another interesting one, but Lucas Glover I'm available, but I think I'm just probably going to go Wyndham Clark this week and Rom next week, and Rom right now is 13% available, so I'm kind of hoping some people use him this week, and then I get him at a nice low rate next week.
You've got him at a nice low rate already. I can't put the hex on him. I've already used him. I put Ricky Fowler in there, Skeeter. I'll just let you know who I've picked. Basically, I love Ricky, so I'm not going to go down without using him. That's all I got for you on that one.
He'll be interesting. He's got 36% availability remaining. I wonder how many will use him.
I would imagine. You know what? I think what you just said, it's going to be interesting. With only 70 players, every player is slated to be used about 1.2%. I'm just totally guessing there, but that's about right. So, I mean, we're going to see some of this, you know, 10% ownership on guys with only 20% left, I would think, because like you've said, I mean, when else are you going to use them?
Right. So it all depends who you've held and who you haven't. So yeah, this will be intriguing these final 2 weeks and hopefully, and gosh, I just need a win.
Well, Skeeter, I am certainly hoping you get it done. I am hoping that I've got a nice sweat sitting at the hotel bar at the Fantasy Football Expo this week because I will be up there. So how much I will get to watch Saturday? Seemingly very little. How much I will force Dan Klassen's to listen to on the ride up there Friday? Seemingly all of it. So that's what we're looking forward to this weekend. Hopefully come Sunday, I'm parked right there at that hotel bar with golf on the television because I'm locked in on a winning lineup and you're locked in on skyrocketing up that one and done leaderboard as well as a winning lineup.
I would take either one, but that's what it's been the past couple weeks. Like all lineups suck. All right, time for one and done.
Well, Skeeter, I guess that puts a bow on Tennessee unless you've got anything else for Germantown.
I don't think I do.
Good luck to you, my friend. Good luck to everybody else, and we appreciate y'all listening. We'll do this again, I think, one more time next week for Skeeter Robinson. I am James Adams. I'm so confused.
I don't think you want to beat me.
Oh, Skeeter, surely I would. I'd love to be swap you places in one and done right now, buddy.
Well, I'm sure you would. I will pass on that.
I'll swap you places in a lot of regards, but we will continue to just be ourselves, and we will take it from there. For Skeeter, I'm James. This has been the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast.